tonight, as I was studying about what to preach on tonight, it brought me to two passages in the Scripture. And one is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and the other one's in 2 Peter chapter 3. And if you have your Bibles with you, you can turn with me. We'll start in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I'll give you a minute. It's in the New Testament. It's right before 2 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Just like 2 Peter is right after 1 Peter. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord. Just lead us tonight, Lord. Let your Holy Spirit be in control tonight, Lord. Just remove anything tonight, Lord, that would hinder us from learning more about you. Lord, I just praise you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for your word. Let us learn from it. Let us leave here better than we came. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 is dealing with what is to come. In other words, the day of the Lord, when the second coming. And I know this morning, through this Advent season, I've been talking about how we are looking forward, as just like in the old days, they were looking forward to the birth of the Messiah. And we're thinking about Christmas, how now we have, you know, we know about the birth of the Messiah. We have the knowledge about that. But now, you know, we understand why he came, and we're looking forward now to the second coming. And, you know, and it's listed, it's called like the day of the Lord. This is the day of the Lord. And the Scripture talks about this here. And I'm going to read quite a bit tonight, but I think it's really important that we get it all here. And we're kind of going to go through this more maybe like a Bible study as much as preaching. It starts off with, "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." You know, he's saying, you know, we've heard that. He'll come like a thief in the night. He'll come when no one's expecting it. And we've heard that for many years. And he'll say, you know, when people are saying peace and safety, when people are just going on their everyday life, not thinking about anything else, that destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains of a pregnant woman. "But you, brothers," he goes on to say, "and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief." It shouldn't surprise us when this day comes. It shouldn't shock us when this day comes. And he goes on to say, because we're not in darkness anymore. We don't live in the darkness. So that you are called the children of the light and the children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. You know, I think there's a lot of people that are just sleeping it off. You know, they don't have a care in the world, and they don't bother with coming to church. They don't bother with, you know, they you talk to them, and they believe in God, and they believe that there's a Jesus, maybe, you know, but they're just out doing whatever they want to do, and they're not even thinking. They're living in darkness. But he said, we that live in the light, we know. And this shouldn't surprise us when this day comes. It says, "For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And I want to say this, when the DS told me that today, it encouraged me. It was building me up and encouraging me. Just like I want to do to you. That's what I want to do, is encourage you to not be asleep, to not let, you know, not to get complacent in your faith, in your walk with Christ, because it's easy to do. Getting involved in this world, getting involved in our daily lives, we get busy working. And I know some of you are retired, but you still have busy lives. Retirement doesn't mean that you're less busy. You're just busier in different ways, right? And we get so caught up in doing things that sometimes we get complacent in what is important. And we let our faith slip away some. And so what I'm saying is, I want to encourage you to stay strong in your faith as we're staying so busy in this world that we live in. Because we're children of the light. We're not children of the darkness anymore. So our confidence is in what's to come. And we shouldn't be surprised at what is going to come. And he says now in verse 12, he says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you." See, there's another encouragement. I know there's many of you, you see it just like today at the potluck. I watched many people, you had all the ladies out there serving food, and Herman. You know, he's not here, but Herman was right there with the rest of them. And I want to thank Carla. I want to say, Carla, thank you. And Verna, thank you for what you do here in the church. They were here late last night setting up the tables and doing things. And they do a lot around this church. I mean, they do a lot here in this church. And I want to say thank you for what you do. Because it helps make everything work. And they don't do it because they want the recognition. They do it because they love the Lord. And that, you know, they like to see things. I mean, look at all these decorations and the things that I mean, Carla and Verna and a few others do all that. And thank you for that. Thank you for that. I could say, I mean, I can go on. I can thank Wendy, and I can thank, you know, Nina and Jack and Lottie and Mark and Kathy, and I mean, I can keep saying thank you, and Larry, and I mean, I can just keep going to the ones that work around here and do the things that needs to be done. I want to encourage you. We should encourage each other. He goes on, he says, acknowledge those who work hard, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. But always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. That fits our church. That fits our church. I believe that. I see, if you want to look at a biblical church, I believe that we are that church right now. And people are seeing it. That's an encouragement to you guys. I'm not just saying that because I want you guys to like me. Okay, I'm not. I'm saying that because of what I'm seeing. I'm saying that because of what I'm hearing. And it's not just it's not because of what I do. It's because of what you guys do with me. Amen? We're a team. We work together. He says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who calls you and is faithful and who will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It's funny, I laugh about that because I told Mark, I was teasing Mark. I said, you know, the girls were hugging on Mark, and I said, well, the scripture says you got to greet everybody with a holy kiss. And I said, but I wonder if we can draw the line somewhere. Is there? We can. We can. Mark and I are agreement on this. But, you know, it's about love and compassion and encouragement and unity. It's about all these things. He's saying, and you're going to do this, keep doing this until the day comes when the Lord appears. And don't be surprised when He appears, because if you're doing this, if you're being this, when He appears, you don't have anything to worry about. Nothing to worry about. It's an exciting time. I love that. I love this. And then if we turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and that was Paul talking. That was Paul talking to the church. And now we find Peter talking. He says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. There again, he's using a word that is to encourage you or to get you moving, get you motivated, that you're doing, you know, to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. There's going to be people coming and arguing with you about what you believe. They're going to argue with you and say that what you believe isn't true. It's different. It's not that way. It's some other way. That's come. I mean, that right there, I see that today. I see that today. And he says, they will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately, now listen to these words, they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word the heavens came into being and the earth was formed out of the water, and by water, by these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. See, and we know that science, when we listen to what the science says, they talk about how the earth was formed billions of years ago, and they talk about all this stuff, and they say, you know, they argue about, well, the water, about the flood. You know, they don't believe in the flood, but yet they'll admit that there was a flood. I mean, all this stuff, you hear these arguments all the time. I mean, they deliberately go out of their way to talk like that, to argue about this stuff. And really, when you look at real science, it proves it. And we have some good, what's the guy's name? Built the ark, has a creation museum. Huh? Yeah, Ken Ham. He's standing up for this stuff and he's arguing. You know, he's like, hey, what you guys have been saying is not true. This is the way it truly is. And said, by these waters also, okay, where are we at? Okay. Verse 7, there you go. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. Man, those are strong words, aren't they? I'm glad I'm a believer. That's all I got to say. Man, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad that I don't have to worry about that. I'm glad that when the Lord appears one of these days, I can be found, blameless. Why? The only reason I'm found blameless is because of Jesus Christ in my life. That's the only reason. It says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Or some slow people, I think. I was going to say that. You know, science tells us that it's been billions of years since creation, but numerology out of the Scripture tells us that the days are like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day to God. And in 6,000 years, we're in the seventh day. Think about that. 7 days of creation, 7 days. And when you look at the timelines of history, when they go back and look at the timelines of history, when the kings and all this stuff were brought up, they go back, we're in just the start of 1996 was the start of the 7,000 years. The start of the 7,000. That I think about things like that. If a day is like a thousand years and it took him 7 days, are we in the last days? Are we getting to that close time when is this the generation or is this? I think about those things and I think, well, if it is, it is. If it's not, I'm still looking forward to it. You know, it says here that the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand this slowness. He's not just taking His time for any old reason. It says, instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. The only reason He's taking His time is so because He doesn't want anybody to perish. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He doesn't want that. And we as a church should not want that either. We should be patient with people. And I know that's hard to do sometimes. It's hard to do sometimes. He said He wants everyone to come to repentance and no one to perish. Verse 10, He says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you be? Think about that. He's just telling you what's going to happen. Now what kind of people are you going to be? You going to be for Him or against Him? You going to be asleep or awake? You know what's going to happen because He just told you. He just told you what's going to happen. Is that something to be scared of? Somewhat, that's the fear of the Lord. But we that are saved, if you're saved, there's no fear in that, is there? As you look forward to that day of God and speed its coming, That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promises, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. No more of this garbage that we're dealing with here on this earth. No more of this. Because we'll be living in a place where only righteousness exists. No more fighting and arguing. No more scoffing and debating. No more of this junk. No more of it. That's something to look forward to. No more of it. Because it seems like everywhere you turn, there's junk. Everywhere you turn here. So then, verse 14, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with Him. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation, just as our dear brother Paul also wrote you with the wisdom that God gave him. He writes in the same way in all his letters, speaking in them of these matters. His letters contain some things that are hard to understand, which ignorant and unstable people distort. Man, I want to tell you what, we got a lot of ignorant people right now in this world. They're trying to distort the word to make other people believe that that's the way it should be, not the way we believe. Don't fall for that. That's what he's saying. Don't let that. It says they distort as they do other scriptures to their own destruction. They do this. I don't have to explain that in detail because I think you guys know what I'm talking about. Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the errors of lawless and fall from your secure position. We talked about that a couple weeks ago in our Bible study, about what backsliding meant. Throughout the Scripture, it leads you to believe that you got to be careful and on your guard, just like what he's saying here, what Peter's saying. That you're not carried away by the error of lawless and fall from your secure position. God gives us every effort. He does. He gives us every... He's patient with us. He's given us a lot of time. He wants to share heaven with us. Each and every one of us. Not just some of us, but all of us. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. I wanted to share this with you tonight because I wanted to encourage the church. I wanted to encourage you guys on not only what you're doing in the church, but also this thing that we have to look forward to is an exciting thing. But yet, it's something that we have to tell everybody about. You know, this is something is important for the church. I mean, this is what we're called to do, is to warn people. And he's warning the church. This letter is written to the church, not to the people outside the church. He's writing it to the church. So my encouragement is stay focused. Stay in the faith. Keep going. Even when I know we get stressed out and we get wore out and we get tired. And even when we get so busy in the church, it seems like we've always got something going on at the church, or we got something going on here. And we can get tired and burn out with those kind of things. Just keep going. Just keep looking towards Jesus and just keep trusting in Him. And one of these days, He's going to come back and He's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done. Come in and rest now. Now rest in peace and love and righteousness. There's no more of that. You don't have to worry about it anymore." I hope it encourages you tonight. I hope this was good. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word, Lord. Lord, I just ask You to let it burn into our minds and let it be planted into our hearts, Lord, that we not forget it. We not forget that day is going to come, Lord, and I believe it's getting closer and closer and closer. Let us be good stewards of what You've given us. Let us sow seed that You've given us, a supply that never runs out. And Lord, we look forward to the day that we can look at You face to face and we can hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Thank You, Lord. We praise You. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.